The following programming is sponsored by PhillyLabor.com. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lehocky doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lehocky a call.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com.
Saturday afternoon, holiday weekend. Welcome in, everyone, to the live edition of the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Glad you're with us on AM 860 WWDB. It's going to be a fast hour of programming today. I promise you that. Go along with the hustle and bustle of the holidays, J. Doc, but good to be here and good to be here live on this Army-Navy weekend as kickoff sets to begin, gets ready down at the nation's capital. Good stuff and a very busy weekend.
Absolutely, Joe. It's definitely great to be live here on the Labor Show on WWDB. lots to talk about. Oh, we have two very consequential guests. Brian Powlett of Transit Workers Local 234 is somebody who just got finished negotiating a major contract, okay, for our SEPTA workers. And, you know, you have so much going on there, and they did a great job. And in a sense, we're going to get to hear from the horse's mouth exactly what the situation is and was. So, you know, our whole city of Philadelphia depends on that. And then we have City Councilman at Large Jimmy Haraday, who is going to be talking about the 76ers arena, the community agreement, and a lot going on. So no question, two individuals that are on the front page of the news and are doing a great job on behalf of their constituents.
Also on the front page of the news, this is the final weekend for the partnership with the City of Philadelphia, the AFL-CIO and Cradles to Crayons, along with Krause's Coats. Our collection, our big kids collection, comes to a close this weekend, and you still have time to drop off new or slightly worn coats, jackets, hats, or gloves at one of the many locations around the city, including a big location over at the Philadelphia Zoo. You can drop off as well. All of the coats will be picked up on Monday and Tuesday, and then we'll get them over to Cradles to Crayons, and some of that distribution will take place. You know, it's an amazing thing, J-Doc. We did the press conference down at City Council, or down at City Hall, rather, a couple of weeks ago to announce the 14-day blitz, full-blown media coverage in Philadelphia, and one of the viewers from 6ABC saw the news story, reached out to me, and then went on a buying spree of kids' coats, boys and girls, and dropped off about 250 coats. So brand-new coats bought right off the rack. So really good stuff. There's a lot of good people that want to do something. And I'm so glad between Mike Driscoll and the City of Philadelphia pulling it together on their end. Of course, Danny Bowder and the AFL-CIO pulling it together from there with help from Monica down at his office. And then, of course, Cradles to Crayons, who I have been working with for, you know, I'm in my 15th year with Cradles to Crayons. So just really, really good stuff. And that's all culminating this weekend. And then next week we'll get the coach in and get them out before the holiday.
Yeah, you know, Joe, it's, you know, you think about it, it's so cold out there. And, you know, it's a, can't even imagine, okay, individuals who, and especially children, okay, who don't have a coat, in this absolutely, torrid weather. It's just incredible. And so what you're doing and what everybody's doing, the contributions, I can't imagine the child, you know, obviously being out without a coat, okay, walking to school without a coat, and not being warm and having that security. So such an incredible, incredible endeavor that you do every year. And I know you do it out of the love of your heart. And certainly it's something that, you know, is much appreciated. It's so good to hear people just, you know, jumping in and, you know, we've talked about our experiences with the union community, passionate about, I mean, you've also given out, so coats, also, sleeping bags, right? I mean, whatever it takes to keep somebody warm in this, really, very dangerous weather when you talk about how cold it is out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Two final things, and then I'll get us into the break so we can get started, because I know you got a big show lined up. One, I got a text about 25, 30 minutes ago from Mike Driscoll, who was...
Councilman Mike Driscoll?
Councilman Mike Driscoll, who was at an event and ended up in a conversation with a school director who ultimately has already texted me. There's a need there for some coats, so we're going to take care of that. And then 1 week from today is my annual Veterans Holiday Party and Christmas celebration. We sized up 267 veterans in need of a coat, and we're going to do that next Saturday. We've got a brunch. We've got holiday music. We've got four special Eagles jackets that we're going to randomly give away. I'm sending a couple of the veterans to the Eagles Cowboys game. So all kinds of great stuff, fully supported, awesome, of course, as always, by the union community. J-Doc, you mentioned the sleeping bags. That's one for the ages. The amount of bags, sleeping bags, that we actually were able to get within a 20-minute period on that one labor radio show on a Saturday night was just may never be duplicated again. It was just amazing.
Well, it is, and I told you, I felt like I was answering the phones at the Jerry Lewis telethon. You made one announcement, and you know it was like, you know, fireflies, man. You know, wildfires. You know, just people. You know, labor leaders calling in from everywhere, donating. 500 coats here, 500 coats there. Just a fantastic an example of what labor is really, truly all about. And so it's great for you, and I love it. I'm proud to be such a conduit for it all. So proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, appreciate it, man. We'll get to our first commercial break here on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Good stuff coming up, as J-Doc mentioned in this live show. We'll take our first commercial break. This is the Labor Show.
First charted in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence, completing the job on time, under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union Community. Wayne Miller, Business Manager.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account with convenient locations throughout our city of brotherly love. Also online at pfcu.com with free online and mobile banking. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Plumbers Local 690 proudly promotes, supports, and endorses the belief plumbers protect the health of the nation. The highly skilled workers of Plumbers Local 690 specialize in commercial and residential work. Plumbers Local 690 workers work on stadium projects and the largest corporate projects and your residential property. Plumbers Local 690, George P. Graham, business manager. God bless America.
Hey everyone, this is Krause of Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, proudly presented by Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard. Buying your next car online is just a call, click, or email away. Let Jim Stevenson handle your union family's next purchase right from the convenience of your home. Email Jim right now at jstevenson@chapmanautogroup.com. Remember, if you're a member of the building trades, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000, option number 6. If your union is a member of the AFL-CIO, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000. Buy your next vehicle or lease your fleet right now online from the only man in Philadelphia that has supported every union effort with unconditional effort. Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard says, union yes. Get the Stevenson difference. He supports and drives the union community. IATSE, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. What it means is simple. Every large-scale event in the city of Philadelphia on the Parkway, at the Wells Fargo Center, the Convention Center, or in the Kimmel Center is created and executed by IATSE. These dedicated union members proudly serve the city of Philadelphia and the millions of people that are directly affected by their work. IATSE Local Number 8, Mike Barnes, President and Business Manager.
And back here live on the Labor Show here on a Saturday afternoon. We thank everybody, of course, for listening and being a part of the Labor Show all year long. J-Doc, right over to you, sir.
Thank you, Joe. I'm ecstatic to bring in Brian Pollock, who is the president of TWU Local 234 here on our Labor Show this weekend. And been going on in the news. Real happy to announce we have a one-year contract. Brian, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Labor Show.
Good afternoon, guys.
It's great to have you, Brian. I know you've been busy lately, you and the fellas, and so we appreciate your time. If you will, just remind our listeners real quick who you represent, who are the members are of TWU 234.
I'm Brian Pollock, president of TWU Local 234. We represent all the bus, trolley, train, and maintenance workers at SEPTA.
Okay, and obviously the big news is we averted a strike. How close were we to a strike, if you will?
To be honest with you, we were very close. SEPTA pretty much, you know, was basically pushing back, the funding issue was big, and, you know, that was a word around the table. And we were ready to go. We had, you know, not only was it, you know, us, Local 234, but Anthony Petty, who's the president or general chairman of the Victory Bus Operators. I represent City Transit Frontier Division, which is Montgomery County, and the Victory Delaware County maintenance guys, along with Anthony Petty and District Council 33. We put our heads together and it was going to be a real thing. You know, we were going to shut the region down.
Well, it's interesting because I had known that. You know, you guys had met with the governor several times, but very interesting and effective strategy. Obviously, getting, you know, Greg Boer, who is the new president over at DC 33, and the vice president Anton Little, guys that are doing a great job, uniting everybody together. That surely got the governors, along with the bus operators. That certainly got the governor's attention. Correct?
Absolutely. We were at a point where we had to find a way to apply pressure. You know, we had to get Governor Shapiro You know, we had to wake them up and get them down here. And we had a breakfast on Wednesday at a diner up around 4th and Spring Garden. And, you know, this was about 10:30. About 11 o'clock, we came, you know, we were discussing, you know, a plan, you know, strategy. And as we were coming out, all the news media was there. Someone must have tipped them off.
Ha!
You know, it made the 12 o'clock news. And shortly after that, we got calls from Harrisburg.
Sure.
And that's when the process started.
And you say that, and I know one thing that's always been important to you guys is, so it's a very unique situation, okay? You have a very passionate and hardworking constituency, your members, okay? And you have SEPTA, okay? But unlike a lot of other people, but ironically, Greg Boulware and DC-33 and like you said, the suburban bus operators, you guys are not only dealing with your, you know, your employer, but you're also, you're a service for the general public. So in a lot of ways, if you don't work, okay, if you go on strike, that, you know, the city comes to a standstill. And so I know that your sentiments have always been, let's do whatever we can. We'll strike at the last minute because we want, you know, you care so much about the citizens. But at the same time, you have members that are working, you know, on the front lines. What are the sentiments of the members? And if you will, what is that dynamic like, not only having a responsibility of your members, but also the general public?
Well, you know, I always, you know, I represent my members 190%. I represent, you know, my members. But being at the head of the table, you know, I have to make very wise and sound, you know, decisions when it comes to, you know, contract negotiations and whether, you know, when it's, you know, the right time to go on strike if I have to.
Sure.
On several news stations, you know, I say it over and over and over again, you know, I'm not just fighting for my members, but I was fighting for the citizens of the region, you know, these patrons. I grew up in Philly. I caught the bus to work, to church.
Ronald 330.
You know, so I understand the need for mass transit. And I was a bus operator. And, you know, I had people that depended on me to get them to work, get them to school, get them to make groceries, you know, whatever. And I took, you know, I took the job seriously. So I understand, you know, I'm not the president that stays in the office. I'm the guy who has my finger on the pulse of people. And I understand what's needed. So I was going to do everything in my power, as I said, to avoid striking and trying to, you know, try to work out a deal where there would be no interruption. You know, most of the SEPTA's board members and the higher-ups at SEPTA, they don't live in the city. They don't rely on the buses. The citizens of this region, they do. And I had to look out for them. Not only them, but I'm looking out, you know, I was looking out for my members as well. You know, because our mission at these contracts, in these contract negotiations, you know, was safety and security and economic justice. And in the end, we got it all.
Well, it's interesting because I can't, you know, what you said at the, you know, when we first started talking is you, by the time you got outside the diner, the entire news media is out there. Now, let me say this. We have a lot of great unions, a lot of great union leaders in the city of Philadelphia. Okay. And, but they don't negotiate in the public's eye. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, you know, you're not only negotiating in the public eye, and by the way, it's brilliant. It takes collective bargaining to a whole new level when you're dealing with DC-33 and the suburban bus operators. What is that like? In other words, so you not only have your members and you're keeping the best interest of the general public at your heart, and you're dealing with your negotiation with your employer, but you're also, you got every move you make is on camera. How do you handle that and keep it together, you know, especially when It literally took, 3 unions bonding together, okay, to actually get the governor's full attention before you could get this thing settled. What's that like, and how do you keep your wits together when you got the media covering every move you make?
Well, in order to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. And I follow greats. I follow Willie Brown.
Oh, yeah, Willie's the man.
I follow Willie Brown. And Willie Brown and I worked in tandem for years. So all those years, for the last 20 years, Willie and I, he was number one, I was number two. And I've been at, pretty much the last 20 years, I've been at every single round of negotiations. So, I wasn't, in those negotiations and around Willie, with my hand and, with my fingers crossed, twiddling my thumbs, I was a sponge and I was learning.
Sure.
And through all those years with Willie, it's safe to say I learned a little bit. And I understand the dynamic surrounding negotiations. It's all about time, place, and conditions. It's all about time, place, and conditions, and everything has to be orchestral.
Okay.
Everything has to play. Everything has to fall. It's all about strategy, and I learned that once again by following a great leader.
Now let's talk about. And by the way, that's my conversations with Willie over the years. When we talk about it, the last thing people want to do is strike, because you know how much the city, the citizens of the city, and the surrounding suburbs need your services. So that sentiment has always been at the front line. But you're going to do what you have to do to keep your members with fair wages and safety conditions and benefits, and that's only fair. And so I learned that from Willie as well. So. Your point well taken. Let's talk about the issues, okay? Okay, so this particular contract, okay, it's a one-year contract to get designed to get you to the point where there's dedicated funding that comes in, and the finances are available to for the long haul. So you talk about one of the amazing things. You talk about a 12% raise in 1 year. Okay, 5% I think this year and 7% last year. Talk about that, if you will.
Yeah, it was another bit of phenomenal negotiating. We had last year in December, we got a 4% raise. Then in July, we got a 3% raise. And with this contract, December 8th, we got a 5%. Across the board up front raise. So within a year's time, we got a 12% wage increase.
Yeah, and I mean, that's phenomenal. Plus, you kept your pension increases, correct?
Yes, we kept the 5% increase in the pension.
And so...
And we lost nothing.
Exactly. I'm going to get into that. One of the... You talk about the non-economic issues that, you talk about zero concessions with healthcare, correct?
Yes, zero concessions.
Okay, and bulletproof enclosures for the operators?
Yes, that was Local 234's ideal. And we're the first transit group in the nation to basically start.
You guys your members are frontline, okay, workers. Okay, you're working with the general public. And, how many people really, in other words, just the fact that safety, what was the reaction when you actually brought that up? Because it is something that is, it's so needed right now. And, individuals are out there, at the stations alone, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night. Talk about the reaction there from SEPTA. And I'm so happy that you did a great, that you were able to obtain it.
Yeah, well, I got to take my hat off to SEPTA, because when we brought them the ideal, they were right on it. Didn't give me any pushback.
That's great.
You had Scott Sauer, who's active general manager, acting general manager right now as a result of Leslie Richards going. And you had Frank Brandis. Those two guys, when we brought it before them, they basically, understood, that it was needed, it was necessary, and it was a great ideal.
And
I have to give credit with you, too.
Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry, Brian.
No, I was just saying I have to give credit. Those guys, they didn't fight me on it. They welcomed it with open arms.
So having said that, we only have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to bring up something very interesting. So moving forward, talk about the skill games that they want you to, talk about the raising money for the future, okay? And what the funding for mass transit, highways and bridges by, being locked into the skill games. What is that?
Yeah, well, they're talking about funding transit through a tax on skill games. You don't see too many in the city. You see a lot of them out in the suburbs. Those machines, the gambling machines that you find in like local gas stations and
bars.
Small gas stations like Flying Z and those type of things, but they're you don't see too many in the city, but you see a lot of them in the counties, and they're talking about a tax on that to fund to fund transit. Me personally, I don't think that would be.
It's a gamble, right? For lack of no pun intended, but it's a gamble locking yourself into something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I don't think it's going to fund mass transit in the state as, like it needs to be. Senator Street years ago came up with a penny on every gallon of gas. A penny on every gallon of gas, and that would basically be the money to fund mass transit. Pennsylvania, we use billions of dollars worth of gas, and that right there would fund it. But it came and went. I think they need to revisit, something like that.
I agree. That sounds like more common sense. You sit there and you talk about those games, skill games. When I heard about it, it obviously piqued my interest. Before we go, Brian, first of all, we really appreciate your time. Where do we go? What's the next step in regards to getting the full funding?
Well, the mass transit funding is definitely an issue. I don't know if in October, the local put together a rally at the state house, and it was although we didn't get the funding, it was well received. I had everyone from the lieutenant governor to, the Philadelphia delegation, all the people, who could make a decision was there and basically was championing our fight. That's going to continue to go on from Local 234. We're planning another rally probably in March, to continue attacking this issue surrounding transit funding. Now, I want you guys to know that, not only are we fighting for funding for SEPTA, but we're fighting for funding for mass transit throughout the state.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Brian, we really appreciate your time. We appreciate the great job you've done on behalf of your members and the citizens of the city of Philadelphia. We really appreciate it. Leadership is what makes the Philadelphia union community the number one union community in the country, and you yourself. And, of course, you mentioned your mentor, Willie Brown, and your team, by the way. I want to thank Joe Coccio and Billy Bannon and all your members and all your board members for helping to set this up, this very important interview. Brian Pollack, President, TWU 234, thank you so much for being on The Labor Show, and happy holidays, my friend.
You as well. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. We're going to have more from The Labor Show with J. Dot and Krause in just a minute.
This is Wendell Young, president of UFCW Local 1776. We proudly represent nearly 35,000 members who serve their communities at meatpacking and food processing plants, nursing homes, manufacturing plants, grocery stores, our fine wine and good spirit stores, and in the medical cannabis industry, among others. Our members earn fair wages and good benefits. We give workers a voice in their workplace. To learn more about our union, please visit ufcw1776.org.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
Hi, this is Mark Lynch, Business Manager, IBEW, Local 98. Our members are the best educated, best trained electricians and technicians in the construction industry. Our electrical contractor partners do the job right. The first time, every time, safely, on time, and on budget. Find out why we're the best in the business. Visit us at www.IBEW98.org.
Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lehocky doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lehocky a call.
The great city of Philadelphia and its incredible skyline are being built in part by the sheet metal workers, Local Union 19. And did you know schools, libraries, and other public buildings you visit were built with help from the sheet metal workers? Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and hire a member of the sheet metal workers, Local Union 19. Their history dates back to the 1800s, serving 23 counties in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Sheet metal workers, Local Union 19, Brian Bush, business manager. Visit them on the web at smwlu19.org. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly skilled. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly trained. Ironworkers Local 401 members execute jobs that require structural steel, concrete structures, towers, and the highest part of a building you can see that is currently under construction. Ironworkers Local 401, a proud member of the Philadelphia Building Trades. Say thanks to a member of Ironworkers Local 401, Kevin Boyle, business manager.
And we're back here live on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause on a Saturday afternoon. Special thanks to President Brian Pollitt from TWU34. Good interview with Brian, J-Doc. A lot of fascinating conversation inside that 15 minutes of conversation with Brian. So we appreciate Brian coming on live on the Labor Show. The other item or menu on the agenda today, of course, is the 76ers Arena. Your reference in the pre-show notes was jobs, economic impact, and boom, J-Doc. I'll let you pick it up from there with our next guest. Should be a good conversation. Again, it's the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause live here on a Saturday afternoon.
Thanks,
J-Doc, over to you, sir.
Thanks, Krause, and I really appreciate Jimmy Harrity, Philadelphia City Councilman at Large, joining us today on the Labor Show. Jimmy, thanks for calling in, my friend.
My brother, how are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. I know you've been busy lately.
yeah, a little bit.
Certainly, you know, there's a lot going on. We're going to get to that, by the way. But before we do, I want you to talk about the holiday season, what it means to you and your family, and also what it means as a city council member who represents the city of Philadelphia.
Well, you know, Joe, I know you're well aware. My father runs the FOP Christmas program. He was the founder of it, has been running it for years. And, you know, we're able to bring joy to somewhere around 30,000 families statewide through that FOP Christmas program. Big shout out to Rosie Poplar, the president of Lodge 5, who allows my father to be a pain in his ass and help him out. He's actually now the emeritus guy. He's supposed to be taking a break, Joe, but it doesn't seem to be working. But like today, I just left Harrogate Civic. They had their Christmas thing in the park there at Harrogate Park in Kensington, where I'm from. You know, Harrogate's the neighborhood right next to mine. And they have a big park right there on Kensington Avenue that the neighbors really take care of. It's and they do a lot of events. And we gave out a ton of toys today. Happy to be a part of it again. You know, the people in Harrogate, Shannon Farrell and all her little elves, as we call them, man, they really do something nice for the kids.
And, Jimmy, you know, you have been at the forefront of... you know, somebody who cares about impact. So you mentioned, you know, you're from Kensington, okay. Your story is documented, okay. And as somebody who has really is an example, not locally but nationally, of somebody who was overcome and represents the city of Philadelphia at the highest level. You are passionate about impacting the cause of addiction, drug and alcohol issues, and the front lines in Kensington. Talk about that passion, especially during this time of year, where, you know, obviously there's those that are less fortunate out there on a daily basis. And by the way, their families. Talk about your commitment there.
For sure. I mean, I don't really have a choice, Joe. So in the program, we're taught in order to keep it, we have to give it away. So for me, there's no choice. I have to give it away in order to keep it. And I plan on keeping it. So I'm going to give it away to as many people as I possibly can. And you know, as my job as a legislator is just to try to find out ways that we can fund this stuff and how we're doing it. I'm glad to support Mayor Sherelle Parker, man. She's been a hero for people of Kensington, trying to straighten out the years of just neglect that were going on over there. You know, she gets it. We're building our own facility, Joe. You know, the building trades are big in on that. The carpenters are over there doing a lot of work. The old Riverside Prison, we're converting into a step-up program, the mayor's calling it, where you'll go in for detox, then transfer over into rehab, and then into temporary housing. We're going to try to help get these people not only the housing but jobs. You know, after actually getting recovery, the two most important things for somebody to succeed is them continuing their mental health treatment and also housing. If we can help with those issues, we'll have more people succeed. And that's what it's about, getting more people off the streets, into recovery, and giving them a life again.
And you know, when you talk about it, and yeah, Mayor Sherelle Parker has, you know, I mean, I had the opportunity when we were doing the, we talk about leadership, and, you know, you have been at the forefront, and you have spent, you know, at both the union level and the political level of, you know, working with some of our great leaders. And I remember the first opportunity I had to meet Sherelle, and the thing about it is, wherever she's gone, first of all, you're not going to meet a more passionate person, okay? She is, you know, success is there's no other option, okay? And so, but I had the opportunity of interviewing her and the other candidates, and there was a lot of great candidates for mayor. I mean, we know that. And so, but she has won everywhere she's gone. But she didn't win by accident. She's passionate. She calls it like it is, and she cares about the people. Okay. And I've said that about you, and you know how I feel about you, and you've and you know how my father have felt about you, your wife and your family. Jim, do you think in many ways your success is you can relate because you're one of the people. Like, in other words, you understand the people because you're one of them. You've worked at every level in government. And now you're where you're at, and you understand the people of Philadelphia.
And I'm not going nowhere. Listen, I still live in Kensington on Willard Street. I'm right in the heart of it. You know, I made a commitment to that neighborhood that, you know, if they helped me to get elected, that I would not forget. And I'm not going to forget because I ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm
well,
saying?
That reminds me.
You know, I already decided to fight. We're going to fight. We're going to clean up Kensington, and
you know, as far as the mayor's concerned, I'm one of her biggest fans. I mean, you know, she made a commitment to that neighborhood, and, you know, she had some hard choices to make, and she made them. And, you know, it's just, if you live in the neighborhood, you can see a difference already. There's just a difference in the attitude, difference in what the drug dealers are doing. You know, where we had 30 of them hanging on a quarter because they knew there was no consequences, you got two hiding in an alleyway. You know what I mean? We know how to deal with that. You know, in the neighborhood, we know how to deal with Seniors can then walk to the store. People aren't as afraid. When you got to walk past 30 gang members standing on the corner, you can see they're packing. You know what I mean? That's scary. And, you know, she's already making progress. It's definitely more clean around there. You know, Carlton Williams with the clean and green. Man, them guys are doing a fantastic job. You call them, they get up and they go. You know what I mean? So it's really nice to see for you know, I've been living over there for 17 years, so I've seen it. You know, and it drives me crazy when people say that it's been like that for 60 years. It has not. When I first moved around there 17 years ago, I would be able to walk down to Kensington Avenue, shop at the stores. My eye doctor was down there. You grab a slice of pizza, you know, and walk around. And, you know, it's just a shame. It's all gone now. And, you know, she made a commitment, and she's going to follow through. But, you know, sometimes it's not as fast as people want it. You're always going to have people that are going to say it's not as fast. But we're trying to do it right, and that's why it's taking so much time. We got our own facility being built, like I said. They had to set up the community court in order to deal with the issue. So all that's starting to drop in line. You know, the state, Balarcouche, she went out and got a waiver, because when you're involuntarily putting somebody into treatment through the court system, you're held by the same rules as mental health, which is 15-day maximum. And that's just not enough for these poor people. They need more time than that just to detox. So now she got the waiver. We're able to have people be able to stay longer in the recovery system.
So, and I always, my theory on life and my saying has always been, but for the grace of God, there go I. And so, you know, we're really appreciative of what's going on down there. And there was a great labor leader that once said, the best way to never forget where you come from is to never leave. It seems you've taken that to a new level. We appreciate that. And we got a few minutes left, and I know you guys are a little. What's that, bud?
Go ahead. I said, no worries. Come on. You got it.
So I know you're busy with some other issues. And the I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up, obviously, the 76ers arena. Okay, yesterday this week, there was a 13-4 vote. The city council's committee voted to advance the plan for a Sixers arena to be read before the full council, okay? But a lot of that is determined on a community benefit agreement. Jimmy, what is that, number one, and how much are we looking at?
So the community benefit agreement was signed at $60 million. It's going to go for a lot of things, added security, cameras, police station over there, just more security in general. I was able to secure in a negotiation. They, you know, we got an extra $10 million at the end there, and $3.4 million was added to the. They were going to do a loan program of what that they were funding with $1.6 million, and I said that was not going to do, and I pushed for a grant program. And so now the businesses will be able to apply for grants to get for the 5 years to get them over the hump of the construction. We ended up getting, they dropped the loan program, turned it into a grant program, which doesn't have to be paid back. We didn't want to give these people another payment. You know, if it's going to be a struggling business, you don't want to give a struggling business another payment they have to come up with, even if it is low interest. You know what I'm saying? So we turned it into a grant program. My colleagues were great. You know, they were all pushing for the businesses down there. And we thought this would be a better idea. So they turned it into a grant program. We were able to put another $3.4 million into that grant program. So now it's a $5 million program. And, you know, I think it's going to be good for Philadelphia. You know, you can't argue with the numbers. I mean, just some numbers I'll rattle off. $400 million in annual economic output for the city, hundreds of millions in tax revenue over 30 years for the school district of Philadelphia, zero construction costs to the taxpayers of Philadelphia. That's a big one. $1.6 billion in private investment into Philadelphia, $1 million in apprenticeship and workforce development programming, and, of course, like I said, the CBA that was added to another $10 million, and the grant funding, which was secured for the businesses.
And what's interesting about it is that whole area down there, the economic boom that's going to happen. Not much happened. Like years ago when we were young, the gallery was happening and a lot of things were going on down there. But and it is a nice cultural area. We know that. I know we're all sensitive to that, and everybody's committed to doing the absolute best that possible to
my colleagues are absolutely committed to doing whatever we have to do to make sure Chinatown comes out of this. Not only comes out of it, but comes out of it stronger.
Yeah.
You know, there's a commitment there. Squilla, he's in Chinatown all the time, just like I am. You know, we love Chinatown. We don't want to see it go away. The city of Philadelphia, this council here, they do care. Every member cares. Those that vote for it, those that didn't vote for it, care about the city. It's just in different ways. And I have already talked to Councilman Squilla and a couple others, and they say that they're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure Chinatown is here for our future generations.
Absolutely. And we talk about the economic boom, the other businesses that are going to surround that. And individuals in Chinatown businesses that are going to expand in that area, as well as jobs in the construction, but the jobs in the businesses after the construction. I think this is just my opinion, but I don't think I'm alone in this, opinion. And that is that I think that that it's going to bring a vibrancy to that area, that especially the Market Street area, that hasn't been there in decades and decades and decades. Your thoughts?
Well, for sure. There's already people talking about projects on the other side of the street. I think that this is going to help us thrive, especially down there in an area where really isn't much going on. And the gallery, while when I was a kid, it was a nice place to go hang out after Roman Catholic,
Right.
But, we weren't really buying anything. We were just more.
It became a hangout.
We might get something to eat, maybe. But, for the most part, we weren't shopping, I think this is going to be something better. It's going to bring it down. And like I said, they made a lot of change. Now instead of being sunken, it's going to be a floor above. And there's going to be retail space on that first floor, the street level floor, that will be open even when the Sixers are not playing. They're talking about restaurants and coffee shops and different things like that. Souvenir shops for the Sixers. All kinds of stuff that will be open all the time, even if there are no games.
And before we go, we talk about organized labor. Talk about your commitment to labor, your background, your history there, and your commitment to good paying jobs. For obviously those who are working, who are building the project. And the tax revenues that's going to bring to the city.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, you're talking about thousands of jobs, thousands of employees working there right now, 80 days out of the year. But they're talking about bringing concerts and other smaller stuff over there to create more days of the year. I mean, listen, this is a chance for us to grow. And, most of the big cities now have that downtown stadium. For us, the unions, there's no doubt, kids are going to finish their apprentice program on one job instead of bouncing around the jobs with a different person showing them what to do each time. They're going to learn it the right way the first time while they're there for 5 years on that job.
And what I'm saying? And the job itself, I mean, it's a 1.3 what's it, a $1.3 billion
billion-dollar project. Yeah, dude. You know, that's a lot of people that are going to have a come up on this. There's construction companies, you know, the people that are going to be in there doing the vending and stuff like that. You know, and you heard the Sixers, they're committed to the minority deal that we cut, and they're in the community benefit package. They have to hire so many people from the neighborhood. They have to have maintain a level of minorities on the job. This is a home run.
So, Jimmy, before we let you go, if you will, any words of holiday greetings to our listeners and to our union community?
Yeah, man, my brothers and sisters, man, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I hope everybody stays healthy and happy for the holidays. Get to spend a lot of time with family, because that's what it's really about.
Well, Jimmy Haverty, Philadelphia City Councilman at Large, we really appreciate your time and what you're doing for the citizens of Philadelphia every day and our labor community, my friend. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Joey. Thank you, my brother. Love you.
Love you too, pal.
Your family. See you, Mr. Krause.
All right, good stuff, Jimmy. Sometimes J-Doc doesn't let me get a word in, so I just listen, brother. You know what I mean?
That's why he's the man.
Thank you, brother. We're going to have more from the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause in just a minute.
My name is Joe Williams, business manager of Elevator Constructors Local 5. Every day, countless lives are devastated in our country at the hands of the opioid epidemic. Whether sparked by a pain-related work injury or other issues, many of those afflicted are family members, friends, and co-workers. It may even be you in desperate need of help. No one is immune to the effects of this terrible disease. If you or someone you know or love is suffering from addiction to opioids or other substances, don't wait another day to reach out to someone and seek help. Tell a friend, a family member, or a professional now and get the support you need, like your life depends on it, because it does. Remember, it's not where you start the race that counts, it's that you finish it that matters most. I'm Joe Williams of Elevator Constructors Local 5. I'm a labor leader, and labor cares.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com.
We are District Council 21. We're the brothers and sisters building the city of brotherly love. We're bringing the highest standards of training, safety, and quality to every project, from Center City to the Jersey Shore. We're rebuilding the region's infrastructure and giving back to our communities, all while earning industry-leading wages and benefits. We're proud of where we're from and where we're going.
Brought to you by the 6,000 members of DC 21.
CWA District 213 serving Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, and West Virginia proudly presents The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause and The Labor and Energy Show, Labor's weekly live radio programs. CWA members are standing up for our communities and fighting to protect the rights of all workers to speak up on the job without fear of retaliation and to make it easier to join unions and bargain fair contracts. We are CWA strong and union strong. Mike Davis, District Vice President.
The entire executive board would like to thank all of the members of AFSCME DC 33. Our mission is simple. We constantly fight for and secure the best wages, benefits, and working conditions for our members, and we stand ready in support of the public servers' workers' rights and benefits and hold our politicians accountable for their actions. Find out more at AFSCME33.org. That's AFSCME33.org. AFSCME District Council 33.
Just a couple minutes left here on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Really good interviews today by J-Doc. Two good guests joining us on this live edition of the Labor Show. J-Doc, have about a minute 15 before we got to sign off on this Saturday.
Yep.
I'll give you most of it.
Well, I just want to thank Jimmy Haverty, Councilman Jimmy Haverty, for being on the program and kind of clearing up a lot of that stuff. And, you know, it's great to see that economic development.
Staggering numbers, J-Doc, by the way, from the arena.
I mean, absolutely.
We almost need to do an entire show and forensically break down the numbers and the impact that it's going
well,
and sometimes the public has missed that.
And the fact that they care about the community and they're committed to making sure, doing everything they can that the community benefits. Also want to shout out to Brian Powell, president of TW234, for talking about what's going on there and their commitment to their members and also the general public and our city of brotherly love and making sure this city continues to run. Also, Greg Bulware and everybody from the Suburban Bus Drivers Association. We got a lot of great leadership, labor leadership in the city, Joe, and you and I, you get the opportunity to present it to the Delaware Valley, and I'm ecstatic about it.
No doubt about it. I'll end the show the way we started it. You gave me some opportunity to talk about this weekend, ending our push for Krause's Coats with the City of Philadelphia, the AFL-CIO, and Cradles to Crayons, all ending this weekend. We're looking to collect 15,000 kids' coats. That's going to do it for this edition of the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. On behalf of all of our listeners, all of our guests, and the entire union community, happy holidays, everyone. See you next time.